And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home with a $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar, they're with you on this Friday morning. Rex Road, fresh off the Pearl Jam concert last night. How we doing? How was it? What's going on?
Oh, we're doing great. Let me tell you something. Yeah, I don't want to like overstate things here, but my God, that was incredible. If whoever went to that show, let me know, you know, what you thought. I mean, I've been to two. They're an incredible band, and they played four of my songs. And actually a fifth that would have been on my list. Here's a question for you. Are you allowed to want a band to play a cover? Because Rockin' the Free World, which they played, is, to me, it's identified with Pearl Jam. It would have been like third on my list. So they tore the cover off the place with that one, not literally. But State of Love and Trust, which is my number two song, my number one semi-realistic song, they did that in an encore, and the internet tells me it wasn't on the original set list, which means they probably got the idea from a program.
That's all great. Was Scott Stapp out there? Did he come out on stage?
I'm going to tell you a little story here. You got time for a story?
I got time for a story.
Okay, so, you know, they're kind of midway through the set. I'm probably a little bit earlier in the set, and so Eddie, who, you know, is awesome, regrettably he's got a Bears jersey on, at least it's a Walter Payton jersey.
Oh,
he's a big, you know, Chicago sports fan, but he starts talking about, you know, it's been great to be in Nashville, you get to hang out with friends, you got so many amazing musicians in town, you know, and all this stuff, and it's just, you know, we're so excited we got somebody with it. And I'm sitting there, so I've talked about this episode before, like maybe the best episode of Simpsons ever, Camp Krusty, right? So Marge and Homer send Bart and Lisa away for the summer. They have this amazing summer. They're gardening. They're going for walks. Homer starts losing weight. Like, he grows a little bit of hair, you know. But then the kids rebel at the camp, take over the camp. It's on the news. And the camera's like panning to like Bart sitting in the chair, like, you know, overseeing the rebellion. And Homer's just like, don't be the boy. Don't be the boy. Don't be the boy. Don't be the boy. And it shows Bart, and then like boom, like Homer's gut pops back out. He loses his hair. You know, it's just an amazing Simpsons moment. So that was me for like a couple seconds of terror in the stands. Don't be Scott Stapp. Don't be Scott Stapp. Like, imagine if it actually was Scott Stapp in that moment.
So disrespectful.
Rocks Road.
So disrespectful. It's not where I thought that story was going.
Don't be Scott Stapp. Don't be Scott Stapp. I was like, dude, what if it actually is? What if they're actually friends? I would be so heartbroken. So then he says, everybody, Peter Frampton. And Katie and I were just like, Peter Frampton.
God, how old's Peter Frampton now?
I mean, he's up there. But you know what, man? He rocked the guitar on Black, and then they went into a little interlude of Do You Feel Like We Do? You know?
Okay.
Wah, 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 wah. I mean, it was, yeah, man. It was fantastic. And there was no Scott Stapp in sight. So, you know, I mean, I hope he was there. I hope he was there.
It's a really disappointing outcome. Really is. Just a very disappointing outcome from the Pearl Jam concert last night. Ian Safar, are you as disappointed as I am? Scott Stapp did not make his way on stage last night.
Oh, most definitely. For sure. I mean, that would have been probably.
Could have been special.
Yeah, that could have been an all-timer right there.
Jeez.
So, opportunity missed, but there's always next year.
There is. Hey, Pearl Jam. Yeah. You're welcome back here anytime. Just at some point, you better get Creed out there. What a combo show that could be.
Yeah, make friends with Creed. You
yeah,
know,
maybe they, Creed could be I the mean, opener one
hey,
next time.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. Why yeah. not?
Or, yeah, or they could play like down the street in one of the honky-tonks. You know, same time they're playing. Whatever. Whatever is better for them, you know.
All right, we're going to have to make it our life's mission as a show. You know, we've kind of joked about this before, but now it's got to happen. Like, we've got to find our way into some sort of Creed event as a program, because Joe is talking way too much about Scott Stapp right now, and we just got to remedy this. It's got to happen.
You know, and
I charge our station.
I think a rant. I actually thought about this yesterday. Like, you know, I think at some point I need to have an intervention with myself and just stop ripping Creed. You know what I mean? Like, they're not that bad. Like, I make it out to be like, they're like the, you know, I feel like I'm turning a new page. I'm just going to like leave them alone, you know? I mean, like, I think we've done enough. Like, of all the bands who make bad music in the world, way too much focus on our program, which, of course, my fault, on Creed, right? Like, we should spread the hate around a little bit. So I'm going to come up with some new bands to start ripping.
Yeah, Ian, how long do you think that'll last? About, I don't know, 2 days? 3 days?
Good question.
Okay.
Yeah, Live, I don't know.
Bush, Blink-182. I mean, I got a lot. Fuel. I mean, I got a lot. I can go through a list here.
Jared on the YouTube chat just says, Joe is so old. that's the only comment. Joe is so old.
I will say that, like, when Peter Frampton Comes Alive was, like, the biggest. I was, like, 2, okay? Like, I was, like, 2 years old. Give me a break here. Frampton was rocking, man.
It's Peter Frampton. I'm telling you.
I was actually a little bit surprised. Like, Katie kind of startled me. Like, dude, you're that excited about Peter Frampton? I mean, I'm excited, too, but my God.
I mean, I'm looking it up right now. Peter Frampton. Still getting it done at 75 years old. Just recently celebrated his 75th birthday.
And recently went in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Too,
yeah, it's been a heck of a run lately for Peter Frampton out there.
And Eddie chose him over Scott Stapp last night. Yeah, so I mean, add another one to his
he
resume.
He is really just rolling in the W's right now, rolling them in. We got a lot to get to on the program today. One thing we don't have to get to, Joe, is our friend Stilly. He's not joining us today. At 7 o'clock, another absence on the Robbie and Rex Road program. He's apparently headed to vacation, so does not have time for our show this morning. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, so he tells us this, like, late yesterday?
That is correct.
Yeah. I mean, is that a little bit, you know, like, not cool, I would say, you know? Like, maybe give us a little bit of advance notice?
A little bit of a heads up, maybe?
A little bit of a heads up. It would have been nice. Also, would have been nice to rip him on some of his takes this week. I guess we could still do that and just talk about him behind his back.
Yeah, I'm sure
he had some doozies this week.
He did. There's no doubt. So we will be stilly-less on the program today. We will have Teron Davenport coming up at 8 o'clock. And I must say, weekend winners coming up at 8:30. You know, I've just gone through the standings here. And I'm not going to spoil everything, but I will say, number one, a close competition. And the records between the three of us at this point, nearly identical.
Okay.
So we got a heck of a competition coming up in weekend winners.
But if Ian had been here the whole season, he'd probably be crushing us.
That is also correct.
Early returns.
Yeah, that is also correct. So we'll get into that coming up at 8:30. Some Stanley Cup playoff action yesterday. The Capitals win 3-1 against the Hurricanes, so that series is evened up at 1. And how about Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and those Edmonton Oilers? They win in overtime in Vegas to go up 2-0, both games on the road for Edmonton. And Joe, could we be headed for an Edmonton-Toronto Stanley Cup final? I think the nation of Canada may collapse at that point, but you know, there's been no Canadian team, as we're well aware, that's won the Stanley Cup since 1993 when Montreal did it. Edmonton came close last year, got to Game 7 after being down 3-0 in the Cup Final. But right now, I mean, Edmonton, apparently they're just not going to lose. I mean, I guess we're headed for a rematch of the Western Conference Final from last year with Edmonton and Dallas. But we could be seeing an all-Canadian Stanley Cup Final.
No, believe me, the thoughts crossed my mind. I mean, you talk about that nation collapse, like everyone being fine. I mean, we could probably make them the 51st state while they're preoccupied by that, you know, by that series.
That would probably be the time to do it.
Yeah, that'd be the time to annex them. But no, man, it's wild how the Oilers keep finding ways, and I'm bullish on the Leafs, man. All those failures for years, and well, for decades and like half century, I think it's finally coming around, man.
The Minnesota Timberwolves win 117-93 yesterday against your beloved Golden State Warriors. Obviously, no Steph Curry in the game. So it turns out when Steph Curry doesn't play, that's a pretty big deal for Golden State. But Minnesota wins. Draymond Green gets another technical, which I heard the folks on Unsportsmanlike talking about. Chris Canty, by the way, very fired up and tired of Draymond Green. Noticed that today on the program.
Yeah.
Joe, your thoughts on Minnesota evening things up at 1-1 and where things go from here with Steph Curry's status in question for the remainder of the series.
Yeah, well, Shams said that it's a week. So, I mean, that to me means he probably misses both of these home games. So it's can they steal one at home without him and then make it a 3-game series? You know, I mean, to me, that's probably best case scenario. So, I mean, good to get that first one and you know, if they do advance at some point, Draymond's, I mean, he's piling up the text, man. He's got a
He's two away from suspension.
Yeah, and I mean, like, so if they were to really probably even get to the next round, but certainly if they were to get to the finals, he's going to miss a game, which is unfortunate. And, you know, I think he deserves most of them. But some, I mean, some of the stuff is reputation-based. But, again, I mean, look, he earned that too. So I understand people disliking him. Again, he's sort of like this generation's Bill Laimbeer, although he's a much better player.
I think Chris Canty wanted him like removed from the country. Like, it was unbelievable.
He was
what really
did
mad.
Say?
He just, I'm so tired of all this shenanigans that Draymond Green has, and nobody ever gives him the second tech. They need to give him the second tech. He's outsmarted the rest of the league because nobody will give him the second tech. And I was like, well, he's gotten the second tech a few times out there.
I've seen him get the second tech. Yeah,
he's getting it a couple times. But apparently, I didn't see what happened after the game last night. But apparently, you know, Canty made it seem like he like ran away from questions in the locker room. I don't know what happened at the locker room last night, but Canty was very upset about it on Unsportsmanlike.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I didn't. I got to catch up on that. I mean, he typically doesn't run from questions, though. That would be like usually he's more than happy to say whatever he wants
to say. There's a lot about what Canty was talking about. I was like, I don't know if that. Are we talking about Draymond Green?
Yeah. Please ask me another question about the refs, preferably.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Well. Sorry, guys. You know, he's the shenanigans are there, but and also game one, I think he had like 18, 10, and 8, you know, so sucks when a guy like that he can't stand is also good.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We had a texter yesterday at the end of the show bring up a question on the Brian Callahan front that I think is a good one and worth getting into. We'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rick's Road, 1025-1063, the game. So as you view Callahan, we all know it went off the rails in year one. How do you view year two for him, and what do you think should be the way the Titans approach this season with him in terms of evaluating Callahan and whether or not he keeps his job at the end of the year?
Well, I think it's to me, it's a reboot, right? I mean, if you go out and you spend the first overall pick on a quarterback and Brian's involved in the process of vetting that player and, you know, you go in with the intention of Cam Ward learning his offense, running his offense, you know, building that relationship, I think you have to start effectively start over in my mind because, you know, and we discussed this last week. I think the worst thing you can do when you go and you get a quarterback is to, especially if the head coach is an offensive coach and, you know, the player is running his scheme and, you know, learning his traits, his culture, all these different things. The worst thing you can do is then erase all of that after 1 year and effectively start all over again with the quarterback and a new coordinator and a new quarterback's coach.
That's Charles Robinson on our show yesterday discussing Brian Callahan, Cam Ward, and Joe, a topic we've brought up a lot. What about Brian Callahan's job this year? What does he need to show to prove that he's sticking around as head coach? Now, as we've discussed, if you're talking about development of Cam Ward, it's not necessarily a great formula for Cam Ward. If Callahan's here this year, Ward spends all this time in this system learning the offense and all that, and then after 1 year, you determine that things are bad enough where you got to pull the plug on Brian Callahan, and all of a sudden you're bringing in a new coach, and you start that cycle of just new coaches or new play callers or whatever it is. We've seen that and how that can really mess with quarterbacks in the league. We did get a text as that was going on yesterday, Joe, that answer from Charles, from Mark from Ashland City, who throws this out there and says, "This is the dumbest argument to me. If Callahan is a bad coach, then who cares if they fire him after this year? If Callahan sucks, then I'm not keeping him just to keep continuity. That's ridiculous and dumb. I'm going to try to get the guy who can coach up Ward. You need a quarterback. They clearly believe in Ward, i.e. turning down the Giants. So clearly they do. So now you do whatever you need to do to help Ward succeed, including dumping Callahan if he's awful again. What are we doing here?" This is from Mark from Ashland City on the text line. So, Joe, you've heard Charles lay it out there. You heard Mark from Ashland City's thoughts, his question. What do you make of what Mark from Ashland City had to say on the, hey, I don't care about continuity if Brian Callahan's not any good. Let's get him out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, I think the hard part is, okay, so how are we determining that? It's a lot easier when you're going through a season. You said it earlier this week. How many times last year did you feel like, you know, this staff was, like, getting the most out of them? Or really, okay, that, you know, they had some good first drives or scripted drives. They had some success. I mean, they had some, I think, some decent play calling games. So that would be Brian Callahan having decent play calling games that, you know, sometimes when you can't block, it's hard to see some plays materialize. But there wasn't – they got blown out too much this year. There wasn't a lot to say, man, these guys really have – handle things. Again, they also had a terrible team. So I think one thing, and this does bring up something I heard from Jared, since he is being inconsiderate and won't be with us. I guess we can talk about that. I mean, this is an interesting point, though, that he brought up. I have to disagree. I don't think it's a terrible take, but his whole thing is like Cam Ward's rookie year is going to be determined by wins. That's how people judge quarterback play, with the comparison of you know, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels had similar stats, but right, everybody thinks Jaden Daniels had a better, but way better year because they won more. I get that, but let's also remember Caleb Williams was supposed to be coming into an incredible situation. You have to have context, and the context of the Bears last year, as you know, Robbie, I mean, they're over inflated often, but last year was like, this is one of the best situations you could put a rookie QB in, right? And, but of course the coach gets the axe, and I mean, he may be fine now, you know, this year with Ben Johnson, but I don't agree that wins and losses alone, if Cam Ward has a bunch of, you know, 250 yard plus games, yep, and plays well and they lose 12 games, I mean, to me, that's a formula for Brian Callahan to come back. But does Amy think that? Will she think that, having gone through 5-12?
That is the big question, and I think that is the question that is really difficult to answer here today, right? Like, knowing what we know about this organization and the way that they've operated over the last 3 years, is Amy going to sit through a 5-12 season and not make any moves with how reactive she's been over the last few years? That's the question that I think is fundamentally a part of this, too. And you know, determining what is success for Brian Callahan this year. You know, as we sit here today, Joe, I think we all, even like the most optimistic of Titans fans, and, you know, maybe I'm underselling the most optimistic of Titans fans. Maybe there are some Titans fans out there who legitimately believe that Cam Ward is going to come in and this team's going to be back in the playoffs this year. But I think most of us sit here and look at the roster and where it is right now and the year that they just had and say, yeah, you know, hopefully they're better, but they're probably not going to be significantly better. Like, they're probably not getting to 8 or 9 wins. Like, they're probably definitely not getting to 10, 11 wins where they're in the playoffs this year. So then how do you determine, like, how much does the record matter with Brian Callahan and how much of it is just about Cam Ward? Now, I continue to believe, like, if you're seeing meaningful progress with Cam Ward, it probably pays off in your record to some degree. Like, it's hard for me to believe that there's meaningful progress in Cam Ward and they're 2-15 at the end of the year, or 3-14. I could be wrong. Like, I guess there's a scenario, Joe, where the defense is so bad and they can't get after any quarterback to save their life and they're giving up 40 points a game, where maybe there's a scenario where that's the case, and that's where I think things become really difficult of, all right, well, Cam Ward looks great, but my God, you guys are awful again. What does that mean for Brian Callahan? So that I think is the tough part of this question to answer, is like, how do you determine exactly, you know, what's the cutoff of the record that enters into the equation here of what's most important beyond the obvious of what Cam Ward looks like?
Yeah, it's almost like a sliding scale, like test score and grades, you know. It's like, I mean, except that, you know, like you said, I mean, it's hard to imagine that if Cam Ward plays really well, that you're not going to have some team success to follow that. And some of Cam Ward having a good rookie year, yeah, you got to have probably a couple fourth quarter drives to win games, right? I mean, when it comes down to it, that's where quarterbacks make their money. So, but I do think it's possible even, you know, just they don't quite have enough in some of these games, even if it's not like giving up 40 on defense. But, you know, Cam Ward plays well, they score 24, which, you know, that's something like that. They're in the mid-20s, but he throws like one pick that's called, you know, like, he's going to be a rookie QB.
Yeah.
So I, it, it's, you know, it, I just feel like he does need to be judged on his performance and not like just the wins it leads to, because he's coming into a terrible situation. No one looks at this situation and thinks it's anything close to Caleb Williams last year. You know, no one expects him to win games. So I would grade him loosely on the overall stuff, unless it's just terrible. And it's like, okay, clearly this guy's not a CEO.
That's the thing. Like, I don't think, and here's where I'm with Mark from Ashland City. I don't think that it's just like, well, just for the sake of not ripping the foundation out from underneath Cam Ward, like, he doesn't get free reign this year. Like, it's not like it doesn't matter what happens out there and you're bringing Brian Callahan back no matter what, just for the sake of continuity. Like, I said it yesterday, he and this coaching staff need to take a pretty enormous step forward, right? Like, they got blown out way too much last year for NFL games. They did not have enough answers, even albeit with a bad roster last year, and there needs to be substantial improvement on that front. And if you get the vibe, like if you're around the building and you're Borgonzi or you're Brinker and you're the decision makers for the Titans, and you get the vibe that Callahan is just so far in over his head, then I'm with Mark from Ashland City. Like, at that point, you're probably doing more harm to Cam Ward than good in the long run, if you're keeping a guy that you believe is in too far over his head at that point. So there is a balance there. Do they have the right people in to strike that balance, I guess, is probably the biggest question here.
Yeah. Texture says, give me 5 wins, 21 points a game, and no divisional sweeps. Callahan can stay.
There you go.
Not everyone would agree with that.
I mean, I've thrown it out there. Better not lose Jacksonville this year. You can't sustain a loss to those two. Not Liam Cohen and James Gladstone. You can't do it.
Ever. Yeah. Or everyone's fired the next day.
Yeah. I mean, there may be some truth to that. We got a lot of your thoughts to get to on the Callahan front. We'll do that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, the game.
What's more important, I think, than wins and losses is what progress do you see with Cam Ward? Does he have a season where he grows? Does he reach some of those benchmarks you want to see? And are you willing to go through the pain in the wins and losses column to make sure that the foundation, that kid, is going to be the centerpiece of that team and not be uprooted really quickly? Because you don't know. That's another thing, too. Even though you could go out and shop for another coach with your quarterback in mind and that coach being the person that comes in, quote-unquote, fixes, you know, Cam Ward after one season, I've seen coaching staffs come in with the intent of wanting to coach that quarterback, sort of how, you know, Brian Callahan came in Will Levis, wanting to coach that quarterback, and then after a year going, nah, it's not my guy. I want to go in a different direction. Consider that. That can happen. You saw that happen there, and I've seen it happen with very, very high-end picks. Sean McVay went in to rewire Jared Goff with the LA Rams, took him, you know, to heights, and then decided years into the process, he can't grow anymore with me. It's time for me to move on without this guy and go in a different direction. It can happen with number one overall picks very easy.
That's Charles Robinson with us yesterday on the program, making some interesting points on the number one overall pick front as it relates to the coach. What do you need to see from Brian Callahan? What do you need to see from Cam Ward this year to justify Brian Callahan hang around as Titans coach? Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, fellas. So for me, I think you just – and I know y'all – I know Joe was saying it, that you can't really win – or sorry, you can't really weigh wins and losses as much, but it's just very hard, because that's where I was thinking in the break, like, what are signs of growth that I need to see from Callahan? Because that was my initial question I was going to ask you all in the specifics. So then I kind of tweaked what I was thinking a little bit, because I personally don't think they have outfitted a roster well enough to support a rookie quarterback. And I think that if we're talking about the Titans, they're going to weigh wins more than probably what they should be in a rookie year quarterback symposium. And so my question for kind of you all, and then you bring up McVay, like, I feel like McVay gets 190% of the QB development in Los Angeles, or the success of the QB and the success of the team could be attributed to McVay or to McVay. So putting this on Callahan, where it stands right now for you all and how you feel about the situation, how much of the percent would you attribute to the success or failure to Brian Callahan on next year's season? I'll hang up. Listen, guys, have a great Friday, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate the call. It's an interesting point because, you know, to that question, Joe, you know, Ed on the text line throws it out there and says, I'm a big believer to the theory that the quarterback makes the coach and not the other way around. If Ward is the real deal, he'll make Callahan look like a genius. It's been proven time and time again throughout the history of the NFL. So, I mean, I guess it really depends on your vantage point. I agree, I think, mostly with Ed there. The question is, how quickly does the quarterback make the coach look like the genius, right? Like, is Cam Ward going to be able to do that in year one? I think that's a very different thing than the totality of his career.
Yeah, I mean, I mostly agree with that. I do think, you know, we've had some, I think you, like, some people might look at Drew Brees and say, well, if he hadn't linked up with Sean Payton, you know, was he going to be great no matter what? I mean, I tend to think probably, but I do think that was a beneficial situation. I think Andy Reid, I don't think he's just made by his QBs. I think he's an active partner in, you know, Mahomes being so great. I think Mahomes would be great anywhere, again, as long as it wasn't a disaster that ruins your confidence and gets you injured all the time. But I also think that Andy Reid, and like McVay does, like, you know, first of all, the Titans would love to have the problem of, well, got to the Super Bowl with Cam Ward. He's just not quite there, so let's go find the next guy. You know, you'd love to have that problem someday. But McVay obviously is, I mean, he's pretty freaking good. You know, though, what if McVay in his first year as a coach had last year's version of Will Levis? You know, it's like it worked out pretty well for him the way it all played out, because Goff is a good player.
Yeah. Yeah, is he an elite player? Probably not, but he is a good player.
But the Titans should be thrilled if Cam Ward is that level of player. I mean, he's not, you know, for one thing, he can actually move away from a pass rusher, so he has that edge already. But, I mean, like, seriously, that level of QB would be – you'd be happy with that, very happy with that. And that will – again, yeah, it's like – I mean, they need to make each other look good this year.
Ted, back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Terrell to the program. Terrell, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good.
It was just, I was going to text you, Joe, but it was just way too much to text. One, we're talking about the success and wins and losses. James Daniels had a Hail Mary. James Daniels had won some overtime. He had a defense that kept them in the game. Why is nobody talking about Denard Wilson? He's on the hot seat, too. Because if the defense does not keep the team intact, that's not until the quarterback is able to get the ball. It's the same thing when we had Derrick Henry. By what, the third or fourth quarter, they got tired of hitting this big old guy. So, boom, it started to work. The defense had to hold things together. We keep I'm telling you, I think Callahan's going to do well. I think Ward is going to grow. But if you're talking about wins and losses, we got to have a deal put together until we find some plays that Ward is comfortable in the offense enough to even move up. And I usually judge about time the preseason. Can he bring a drive? Can he do a drive? But you're talking about a whole entire coaching thing is on the hot seat.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Terrell. I mean, the defense, here's the one thing about the defense that I think you got to look at, Joe. You know, I am concerned to death right now with the defense not being able to get after the pass, getting after the passer. And what's that going to mean overall for the defense? You know, one thing you don't want, and this goes into quarterback, you don't want your defense being so bad where the quarterback has to drop back and throw it 45 times a game as a rookie, right? Like, you don't want to be constantly chasing the game to the point where you're just behind all the time because your defense isn't any good. And I do have that worry a little bit right now with the Titans defense with, number one, I'm looking at the edge rusher group and I'm not seeing a lot there. You know, what in the world's going to happen with Jarius Sneed? If he is If he is, you know, out of trouble, is he going to be healthy? There's a lot about the defense that scares me right now, and that could have a pretty direct effect on Cam Ward and the quarterback if those guys just cannot get off the field and you're having to chase the game the whole time out there.
Yeah, look, we talked about it. It's like people think about support for quarterback as, you know, the receivers, the protection, the run game. Man, defense is a huge, huge deal for a young quarterback. Takes, you know, to take pressure off, to score, you know, too many points, or, you know, score a lot of points to have a chance to win a game. And obviously, you know, to just give you, you know, give you the ball back. I mean, so no, it's a big deal. Like, I mean, they're all in the hot seat. But I will say on that call, which, by the way, made me feel like I was in the movie Smoke and the Man, like, breaker, breaker. And I'm like, what is happening right now in this call? I got a lot of it, but the beginning of it, man, that's a little bit of, man, it's selling Jaden Daniels a little bit short here. I mean, yeah, they had the Hail Mary, but like Jaden Daniels was, I mean, go to the playoff game in Detroit. I know that defense was not very good and it was banged up, but like, he just did whatever he wanted to in every huge play, get them to the NFC title game, man. I mean, he was special last year.
Yeah, he was. And by the way, the Hail Mary, pretty good throw, pretty good play by him. I understand that, you know, the defense totally fell asleep on that play. So, you know, that's certainly part of it. But pretty good stuff.
The Bears.
From Jaden Daniels. It's Ed Backer, 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Ed in East Nashville. Ed, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, listen, this is my take on quarterbacking and their relationship with the coach. All right, what happens, I think there's four levels. You've got bad quarterbacks. You have good ones. And then they go from good to better, and then from better they go to the best in the league. I think if you go back and look at Lamar, Josh, all those guys, they were good quarterbacks when they came into the league, and then the coaching, all right, gets them from good to better to best. And you can do that by the run game, the play calling. I don't mean the mechanics of being a quarterback. I think your mechanics are probably going to stay the same, but it's the coaching. And, you know, from the play calling and the running game and all that, it gets you from good to better to best. However, I've never seen a bad quarterback, and I've never seen a coach, and I don't care how good he is. I've never seen a coach that's gotten a bad quarterback to good. If he's bad, he usually stays bad. But if he's good, good coaching can get you from good to better to best. And if you look around the league, Lamar Jackson, Josh in Buffalo, those guys were good when they came into the league, but they're some of the best quarterbacks now in the league because coaching has gotten them from one level to the next. That's my take on it. If Cam comes out and if we can establish the fact that he's a good quarterback, he doesn't have to be better or best, then I think Callahan can get him to where he needs to be, and I think the Titans will be good for the next 10, 15 years. That's my take on it, guys.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate the call. Now, I would say to that, Joe, I don't know that I would even say Josh Allen was good coming into the league.
No.
I think he was pretty bad. And then he ended up going to be, you know, the league MVP last year. Now, Josh Allen is Josh Allen. How many times is that going to happen? I mean, look, how many times have we talked about Josh Allen when it comes to how inaccurate he was coming into the league and how much of a leap he took in that area? It just doesn't happen very often. So he kind of feels like a little bit of an outlier there. With just the dramatic change in what we saw, you know, by and large, I largely agree with Ed. Like, I don't think very often you see just bad quarterbacks turn into really good players later on. But sometimes it does happen. Like, I mean, here's the other thing: like Mahomes was good immediately. Like he set right for a year, and the moment he stepped on the field, he has been unbelievable. And there's been like he's been an elite quarterback from the moment he stepped foot on the field.
Yes, he also did have he had a lot to help him. But, yeah, I mean, without question, I would agree that both of those quarterbacks cited are examples of development and good coaching. I mean, first of all, Baltimore changed their offense around Lamar. He's gotten so much better as a passer, and Josh Allen has gotten. So, I mean, I agree, like, those are examples of coaching and development. You know, you compare it to this situation, like with Cam Ward, like, you know, Brian Callahan is not going to get that same patience, I don't think, for like a couple bad Cam Ward years to get to the, you know, the good stuff.
Right.
I mean, I think that's asking too much.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We got a whole lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Brian Callahan Cam Ward front. We'll continue that conversation coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Nashville's best deal of the week is celebrating National Barbecue Month. You can get a $50 gift card to Central Barbecue in Capitol View for half off right now. You can try their barbecue sampler, ribs, wings, and barbecue sliders. Just head to thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Taking your thoughts on Brian Callahan, Cam Ward, and the Titans. Liam on the text line says, irritatingly, because we're all 1 year closer to death without a Titans championship, next season isn't even about wins and losses. They say fortunes can turn quickly in the NFL, so maybe our new quarterback is a miracle worker. In Cam, we hope. A sobering reality that Liam throws out there, Joe, that 1 year closer to death without a Titans championship.
Sounds like a Pink Floyd lyric. Yeah, that's a tough one. But you know what? Just a little more patience. I will say, look, you know, we've talked some about the idea of, you know, like the wins. That's ultimately how we're going to judge the game. I disagree because of the situation, you know, that he's in. I mean, there are examples. I mean, look, as someone who's observed the Detroit Lions for many decades, they've had, you know, QBs who came in, looked good, didn't end up like you hoped. I think in part just because they were with the Detroit Lions, but you know, there wasn't winning as part of it, but you still saw performance. I think Justin Herbert's a guy who you're like, wow, look at that talent, and it didn't immediately translate to wins. That can happen. Yeah, I mean, I just think that's the reality of here. Like, if the Titans win more than six games this fall, I'll be very surprised.
Yep.
Cam Ward has good numbers and, you know, is a promising player, and there's optimism. I that can happen and still not have the results.
I agree. I still think kind of the big question here, and this is organizational when it comes down to it. You know, Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi, but specifically Brinker, because he dates back to the start of this, right? You know, they moved on from Rand Carthon in the offseason, and basically from the jump, so in the Chad Brinker era without Rand Carthon, they've been talking about patience. And in one way or another, Joe, they've talked about how you got to trust the process that they have, and they're trying to acquire all these picks over the next few years, and they're really making it seem like it's going to be kind of a slow build here, right? And even their draft to some degree played out that way, right? Like, we talked about kind of their day two picks and how maybe those guys are more long-term view than they are really bringing in short-term help right now. Like, that's kind of been the way they've approached it here, which, frankly, I don't think is a bad idea. Like, I think that's probably, with where their roster is, probably the right way to go. But I still have a question is, all right, this is the approach clearly you guys are taking. What about living through it? Like, is Amy Adams Strunk, clearly Amy Adams Strunk is on board now, right? Like, they've talked about that, and they've said that they've got, you know, clarity and organizational unity on their approach and all these things. And that sounds great. But is she actually on board? Like, if Mike Vrabel comes in here and beats them, is that going to make her mad? If they're, you know, 4-13 next year, regardless of what Cam Ward looks like, is she going to be able to sit through that? And that's what I think, if you're being honest with yourself, if you're a Titans fan, I think that's a really difficult thing to answer right now. And look, I don't doubt Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi and, you know, Brian Callahan when they talk about this structure and their patient approach and the way they're going to try to build this thing through the draft here. That's all great. That sounds great. I do, until I see her do it, I do doubt Amy Adams Strunk's ability to sit there and tolerate this and actually go through the experience of losing to the level that we think they might lose at this year.
No, I agree. And that's the whole thing, is like, what's it look like on a weekly basis, and what's the experience like for her? And based on recent history, you have to assume if they're about what we think they are, the experience won't be fun. You know, we can sit here and throw out a number, 6 wins, 5 wins, whatever, but go through it and be the owner and have Vrabel come in and kick your butt, et cetera, you know, and get crushed in Houston and all that. So, yeah, I mean, it's at this point, you have to, I mean, it's hard for me to believe that they'll be very good in terms of overall win-loss. And it's not hard for me to believe that she would then want to fire someone. Obviously, Callahan is I mean, I think he's the obvious. I mean, they just hired Borgonzi. I mean, Brinker just got elevated again, so that would seem to be the, you know, another thing with all that is below her. You know, Borgonzi, does he have someone, like, does he have a guy? Does he have a coach?
Right.
That, you know, like, if he had a clean slate, he's like, I definitely want this guy to be my head coach. Because if that's the case, then I, you know, his patience with, you know, what, however that factors in the equation of decision making, but still, I mean, you would assume he'd have some say in this, and you know, his patience with Callahan may not be great because of that. If he doesn't have someone, I mean, again, I think that they should all be right now totally committed to supporting Callahan, hoping he's good, hoping he and Cam Ward have the next 10 years together, right? Like, you gotta hope that's the case. But do you already have a contingency plan in mind or no? I think that's a question that obviously we're not going to get an answer to at this point.
Well, and if you do have a contingency plan in mind already, like, number one, like, general man, we talked about this, like, if you're an AD in college football or if you're a general manager professional sports, you've always got a list, right? Like, you've always got, like, your ideal candidates that if you have to make a move, you would try to target. But what would be interesting and what I don't think is a good idea right now, like, if you're Mike Borgonzi looking at this and it's like, all right, well, I can't wait to get through this year so then I can fire Brian Callahan and go hire my coach, like, then that starts to really shake at the foundation of what we just talked about of the patient approach and doing what's best for the quarterback at that point. Like, if that's the way you're approaching this, that's probably not going to end well.
Exactly. I mean, best case for the Titans is that he does believe in Callahan and, you know, the plan is to stick with him. If you have someone in mind, it's not a bad thing to do. You should always have someone in mind, right? If we have to do this, if Amy just hauls off and fires them, what do we do? But yeah, I mean, they're screwed if they aren't on the same page and truly supporting each other right now.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. A couple more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans front. I do have a college football thought that irritates me that I want to get to coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, The Game.